I like to take my suit coat off when I preach just because it allows me a little more movement, allows me to go a little more, I don't know, fired up sometimes. So if I ever take my tie off, it's going to be a good message. I don't feel that coming on, but we have been talking about the heart of Christ and the love of Christ, right? We've been talking about what it means to minister like Jesus and just taking an inside look at his heart. And last week we used the story of the woman at the well and just how Jesus' heart is just so exemplified in that story. What he does and how he talks to her and the respect that he shows her. And the reason it's really good to study these things is that we need to know, we need to understand the heart of Christ and how he ministered so that we can be better Christians, because to be a Christian means to be like Christ, right? Right. See, when we understand and we put Christ's love in our heart, then we do a better job ministering. And we're all called to minister. We are all called to be salt and light, and we're called to just spread the gospel and to do the work of the Lord. Now, in doing this, what we need to be careful of is not to place some people and their ministries or gifts with greater importance than others. And what I mean is this. Some people have what we call a full-time ministry position. Basically, their job is a ministry such as a pastor or a missionary or something else along those lines, and it's a full-time deal, and they are supported either through the ministry or by others so that they can do the ministry. So it's a full-time ministry position. Other people do what we call a part-time, if you volunteer some time, or maybe you get paid part-time to do some part-time ministry. And then other people don't have what we would call a specific ministry that they go and they be a part of. Other than Sunday morning church, you know, a lot of people have a job, right? Or you're retired, but you had a job, a secular job or business where you went and you provided for your family that way. So what's important here is when I was in college, I was studying to go into ministry. Most of you have heard the story. And when I graduated college, I was wham bam ready to go. I'd actually been hired at a church before I graduated. And it was right there, right close to Malone College. And I'm like, well, I can get married that way. And then I can finish my schooling because it's right across the street. And then my job is right there too. Senior pastor shook my hand, told me I had the job. The committee was all happy. And then I never heard from him again. And turned out that there was a change of heart for some reason and a door closed in my face. And that's just kind of a story of how I went from one place to another. Hey, this might fit me. This looks like it would fit me. And slam, 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 slam until God takes me down a long hall of doors. And then finally, oh, here's a youth position that fits at our old church. And here's Bangor Liberty. And I'm sure there'll be something else maybe 30 years down the road where he'll call me to again. But when I graduated and wasn't able to go into full-time ministry, I felt that I had less worth than some of my friends that went straight into a full-time ministry position. We had all studied ministry. We all wanted to go into it. And some people, it didn't make sense to me why they got to go and I didn't get to go. So I felt that they had more worth than I did in God's eyes, and that they were of a greater value to God than I was because they were in one of those full-time ministry deals. What I didn't understand was what God had to explain to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, if you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And I'm sure we've all heard this. Most of us have heard this. It took me a little while. I heard it, but I never really heard it in my heart. Starting with verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. See, for the longest time, I wanted my ministry. I wanted to fit in where I wanted to fit in. I wanted to raise my worth by what I did, by what ministry I did, when in reality our worth comes from Christ and not our works. Our worth doesn't come from whether you're a pastor or whether you're a trim carpenter or whether you're just a little peon guy who works at the bottom of the company. These are all jobs I've had. None of that defines your worth. Our worth comes from Christ. And in here it says, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. What I didn't understand was that I was a small part of a big body. I thought I was a big part of a small body in a way. I have certain gifts just like you do, and no one has all the gifts, and no one person has all the talent they need to be able to do God's work. See, God designed us to need each other. He designed us to work together, so kind of as a co-op, to successfully minister to the world. I didn't have all the gifts that God needs to fulfill his ministry. I don't have all the gifts that God needs here at Bangor Liberty. I'm just the pastor. My worth is no greater than anyone else's in this room because it doesn't come from our works. See, what God made when he made the church was a mosaic. And that's the title of the sermon, the church as a mosaic. And if you know what a mosaic is, if you stand back, you see this beautiful big picture. But the closer you get up real close and you can see that the big picture is actually made up of hundreds or thousands of tiny little pictures inside, and each little picture the same size. But when you step back, it makes one big work. Every little picture has a specific place, just like we all have a specific purpose. And when we are all put together, we are specifically placed in that body of the church to fill the needs that other people don't have, to work together to do the work of Christ. And turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's kind of the same deal as Romans 12, but it goes into a little bit different explanation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given that one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just like in that mosaic, you have to put each little picture specifically in a spot so that when you look back, you can't put a black picture. If you're doing a face of a Caucasian male, you can't put a picture that is very dark right in the center unless you're doing like a pupil of an eye. Everything is specifically placed. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. What this is saying is that we have all been placed specifically in the mosaic of the body of Jesus Christ. We have the same value. We have the same importance. Every person makes up one little part of the bigger body of Christ. If you're an arm, if you're a leg, if you're a foot, if you're a tongue, or even a gluteus maximus, the body of Christ cannot minister the way it was designed to without you. So what does that mean in different terms? No matter what your job is, whether you're a pastor of the church or a janitor at a school, whether you're in ministry or your secular job, no matter what your gifts are, whether you're a speaker who's up on the stage or you're a prayer warrior in the back room who nobody sees, Christ needs you to use your gifts for all that you are worth, no matter how big or small you feel. That's what this is saying. Christ needs us to use our gifts no matter who we are, no matter where we're working. We have a specific place, and we have specific gifts. The pastor doesn't make up the church. What good am I if there's nobody else here, if there's nobody to work with? If nobody comes to church, there is no body. He's also saying you can't look at someone else and their gifts wishing that you had their gifts, or sometimes like we've done. Sometimes I've wished I've had somebody else's gifts, and sometimes I look at that other person whose gifts I don't have, and I say, man, they could do that a lot better. They're not really using their gift. They really need to work on this and on this and on this when I'm not focusing on being the best that I can do for my specific purpose. What we need to do is focus on using our gift in the church, in this body of Christ. And I want to read just a little paragraph out of Messy Spirituality. And what Michael Yaconelli has been talking about is just how there's all of these little acts of kindness, little acts of mercy that in the end affect people in a really big way. It says, God's not even in that line. So the power of goodness is found in the tiny. Since the beginning, God has chosen the tiny over the large. David over Goliath, Gideon and his 300 soldiers over thousands of Midianites. Elijah over the prophets of Baal, one sheep over 99 sheep. Spirituality is about doing the tiny work of God, little acts, small responses to God's presence in our lives. Spirituality is about doing the tiny work of God, little acts and small responses to God's presence in our lives. I was over at Royals last month, and I pointed out, I'm like, what is that over there, Royal? He said, well, that's my sandblaster. Nice big sandblaster. You know what a sandblaster does is it shoots sand, which is abrasive, or in Paul's case, corn cobs, which is also abrasive. You'll learn a lot if you talk to Paul. But it shoots sand, which is abrasive, at a rusty surface, and it takes all the dirt, all the rust off, and makes it shiny. That way you can prime it and paint it. Now, what would it be if you would just shoot one piece of sand at a time at that thing? One piece of sand at a time, but when you take the whole body, that whole bag, and you dump it in that machine, and it all comes out, and you put every little tiny piece of sand together, it makes a huge impact. And that's what we are. Apart from one another, in this big world, in this body of Christ, we're just a grain of sand, but when you put it all together, we make one powerful, powerful body of Christ, and we all complement each other. See, the only way that we really make a big ministry for Christ is to take our small gifts and our small acts of ministry and acts of love and put them together in that body of Christ. See, the whole point of this, what God has assigned us, is that you are important. Every single individual is important. We all fit together. We all have a job to do. Sometimes it's just being as simple as just being nice to somebody. That can go a long, long way. And sometimes we just don't even give people that simple pleasure of a smile or a good joke, something to lighten the mood. If they're having a bad day, or even if they're not having a bad day, it can be something as simple as that, and it can go a long way. We all represent the body of Christ, and it's our job to do it as best as we can, to take that gift that we have and use it no matter where you work, no matter if you're a full-time ministry person or if you work at a job. You know, you encounter people, I'm sure, sometime. Represent the body of Christ in how you act, how you talk to them, how you treat them, just like Jesus did with that woman at the well. He treated her with dignity and respect when no one else would, and that's what the love of Christ does. See, somebody is waiting for you. Somebody is waiting specifically for you and specifically for your gifts. See, I was opening all those doors and I wanted to go in here, but that's not where God had placed me in that body. God placed me here now. specifically here, and all of those doors closed to get me here. There are specifics in life. There are specifics in ministry. Are you using your gifts with the big picture in mind? When we go this week, think about what your gifts are. Whether you think they're big or whether you think they're small, they're big. And they mean a lot. Because I don't have the gifts that you people have. If it's just me, Bangor Liberty is sunk. But when we take all of our gifts together in one central effort to touch this community, think of what we can do. Think of what we can do this week when you go out. Think about your gifts. Think about your purpose and where you fit in this church and in the mosaic of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand that you have given us a specific purpose and gifts, and that you lovingly and caringly placed us in a spot that no one else would fit. And I pray that we would open ourselves, every one of us, to the place that you have for us in life, in this church, in your ministry, Lord. And that we would be willing to use our gifts to touch the people of this community and take that effect and touch the people of the nation and touch the people of the whole world. As we come together, Lord, help us to work together to do your ministry. Amen.